my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Remember Dion and the Belmonts? I think that was the name of it. The group that backed him up. Then he was, I think he was just going by Dion after that. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on a new week, Monday morning, September 23rd. By the way, have you noticed it's just a little bit around Tampa Bay, it's a little bit cooler, a little bit nicer? A little bit less humidity, so we're very appreciative. In a few minutes, Myron Ebell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to be here, and we're going to talk about 50 years of failed climate predictions. Now, on Friday, you may have known that millions of kids took school off to play hooky, really, but supposedly to protest the dangers of climate change. As if a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old and an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old go to sleep at night worrying about it. Well, maybe we need to look back in history before we start protesting about it. We're going to talk about that with Myron, so stay tuned. And the weekend political talk show is all about Donald Trump and his phone call to the head of Ukraine and what he said about Joe Biden. If you read the newspapers, it's all a horrible thing that Donald Trump did, but they never talk about what Biden did. I think Rudy Giuliani, a personal attorney to Donald Trump, was talking about it a little bit. Anyway, we're going to talk about that as well. And is wearing blackface really racist? Now, Justin Trudeau is in trouble up in Canada. And every time somebody's picture pops up wearing blackface, it's about time for them to pack their bags, right? So we're going to talk about the concept of wearing blackface and whether or not it's really racist. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 best countries to retire to. Do you think the United States is one of the top 10? You're going to find out. Freedom Works, by the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. In Tampa Bay, the best barbershop for a haircut for men is Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is located in Dunedin, just north of Main Street 580, in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive. You got to get over there. Great haircut, a price that can't be beat. And if you like talking politics, it's a political den. It's kind of fun. So be there. All right. Well, we got so much to talk. One other thing. Don't forget to go to our podcast. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Please go there. You can listen to any of our shows. Big Ed has all of our shows on podcast. And you can find out more about the program as well. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay. Well, I can't wait to talk to Myron Ebell. He was going to be on with us Friday, and something came up, and we were not able to have him on. So I'm glad he's back for this morning. So what's going on here with this phone call? This horrible phone call that the president made to the president of Ukraine. First of all, is it right for us to be listening in on a phone call between those two? Is there any morality problem with that? Are we allowed to completely tell everybody what the phone call was? What if, you know, What if your phone call with somebody was broadcast to everybody? What? I don't think so. Just because you're the president? In fact, isn't there even more reason to be careful? I mean, there's a lot of things you're going to say that, frankly, it shouldn't be for public consumption. Anyway, following Trump's comments that he did nothing wrong when he called the president of the Ukraine, Republican Congressman Peter King of New York said that the case raises constitutional issues about privacy. He says, I think very serious constitutional issues. I think it's wrong as a general matter to have private conversations between the president of the United States, whether it's Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or anyone else, those conversations with a foreign leader being somehow made public. So then Rudy Giuliani goes on, and of course, Rudy Giuliani, he was on Fox News. I think he was on more than one Sunday talk show, but I saw him on Fox News, and he really got into Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden and what's going on there. Apparently, whatever that company was that was over there in the Ukraine that Hunter Biden was a part of was doing some bad things. And they were being investigated by the former administration of the Ukraine, their attorney general. And Biden made a big deal out of saying he was able to get the former attorney general fired. He did fire him. They did fire him. Biden was proud of that. Now, if you go and you read the newspaper today about the phone call that Trump made about that, there's not a word about Hunter Biden and what he did. Not a word. It's just about how wrong it was for Trump to make the phone call. It's crazy. But you know what? This might be Biden's downfall. Because now that they're talking about this issue, they got to talk about what Biden did and what Hunter Biden did, his son. So I think in the long run, it may be the death knell for Joe Biden. There's other people that think that, too. It's going to come back to haunt him. So we'll see.
Do you think maybe on a daily basis, the president wakes up, goes, gets a cup of coffee, heads to the Oval Office, and his advisor comes in, and the president says, okay, what am I accused of today?
Yes. Yes.
I think that's a daily routine.
I think that's the first question he would ask.
What did I do today?
Yeah. And we're going to talk later about, of course, the impeachment thing is back on the front burner.
Oh, of course it is.
You know. It's the fuel, it's the oxygen for the tank for the Democrats, I think. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, climate change apocalypse. We'll talk about that with Myron Ebell.
As I walk along, I wonder what went wrong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
You have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you'll share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
MyPillow's best offer ever. Get a two-pack of MyPillow Premium for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 1-800-954-9168. Use promo code BILL. That's 1-800-954-9168 or online at MyPillow.com. Promo code BILL.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhan's the gal who cares for the caregiver.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back, and thank you for joining us here on Freedom Works. Delighted to have our friend Myron Ebel from the great Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he is the director of the Center for Energy and Environment. And he has penned a piece that you got to read on their website, Energy and Environment, 50 Years of Failed Eco-Apocalyptic Predictions. Myron, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Do you mind if I read a couple of these headlines that you've managed to pick up? I just get such a kick out of this. These are some headlines. We're talking about, of course, climate change these days. And what was it, Friday? A bunch of kids, millions of kids, got out of school to demonstrate about the concern that, you know, global warming is approaching us and all that kind of stuff. Listen to some of these headlines from back a few years ago. This is from the LA Times in 1967. Dire famine forecast by 75. That was 8 years after that. Dire famine forecast by 75. The New York Times in 1969. This is what somebody said in one of their stories. We must realize that unless we're lucky, everybody will disappear in a cloud of blue steam in 20 years. Oh, my goodness. Boston Globe, 1970. Scientist predicts a new ice age by 21st century. Boston Globe, same year. The oceans will be as dead as Lake Erie in less than a decade. I mean, you get the general idea. Myron, I remember some of these kinds of talk. In fact, they were making movies about Ice Age coming and the whole bit. Now we're talking about global warming. When did everything change from cold to hot?
Well, in the 1970s, after a period of slight cooling in the global average temperature from about 1940 to the early 70s, people started talking about the next little ice age, not the next ice age perhaps, but something more like the cold weather that we had for several centuries earlier, ending at about probably 1880. So they were predicting a new little ice age, and that morphed sometime in the early 80s to mid 80s into global warming. And the interesting thing is that the scientific experts, you read the headlines, but the headlines were all referring to some expert, some scientist who claimed to have expertise
right. In
seeing the future, like Paul Ehrlich, the population biologist at Stanford, who said we would, in 67 and 68, that we would have global famine by 1975. So the experts switched from global cooling to global warming, but the kinds of predictions that they've been making ever since are just like these earlier ones, which is we only have a few years or a few months, we have to take drastic action, and the solution is always the same: a lot more government, more spending, more government control, and people will just have to sacrifice to the altar of government in order to save the world. So that's the kind of transformation. It's the same kinds of predictions, but the problem has shifted somewhat.
Yeah, it's the top issues, if not the top issue, one of the top issues of the Democratic presidential candidates. They're talking about it, and again, we had millions of kids get out of school on Friday, wandering around, supposedly worried about you know, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, 10-year-old kids, they don't think about that. But I guess we are, we're kind of forcing it down their throats. The media goes along with it. And we all get concerned. Now, I guess, you know, we're always undergoing climate change, right? I mean, that's a great catch-all phrase, climate change. Of course we are.
Right. Well, the question is whether it's a crisis or it's something that we can handle. And I think about 99% of the evidence points to two facts. The rate of warming is modest. It's much lower than the scaremongers are predicting. And second, modern societies are much better equipped to handle environmental challenges than people 300-400 years ago. And yet, for thousands of years, people managed to survive climate change and other environmental challenges. So, I the whole thing is, I think, a manufactured scare. But I would say, I think there's a market for it. Now, kids getting out of school, there's always a market for that.
Yes.
But the media has a market for scary headlines because people get some kind of thrill out of reading about how doom is right around the corner. And I think part of it is that modern middle-class life is too stable and to some extent slightly boring. And so people get a thrill out of this and they get motivated. My life is all about taking action to do something to save the planet, and there's a certain amount of satisfaction in that. So, these kinds of things. The purpose of our posting this these news clips from the past was just to show that really, for the past 50 years, nothing has changed except what the cause of the coming doom is going to be.
Yes. We're talking, of course, with Myron Ebell. He is the director of the Center for Energy Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And he's got an article on their website, Energy and Environment, 50 Years of Failed Eco-Apocalyptic Predictions. Myron, there is reason to be concerned, I'm sure, when you read about all of the plastic that seems to be in the ocean now that's been dumped into it. And, of course, over the years, we always worry about companies dumping raw sewage or pollutants or whatever directly into lakes and streams. I mean, there's good reason to talk about those kinds of things. But there's that fine line between these bad things that happen and then the actual temperature of our planet changing, and whether or not it's all of this or maybe a couple of sunspots on the sun.
Well, yes, that's right. I mean, it really doesn't matter. If there's climate change, it really doesn't matter what the cause of it is. We have to deal with it in one way or another. The fact is, though, that climate change, the impacts of climate change so far are very mild, and they're largely beneficial. All these headlines you hear about more storms, more hurricanes, more floods, more droughts, that's all bunk. There is no long-term trend in any of the severe weather events. There are cycles. For example, for about 15 years, we were in a down cycle on hurricanes, and there were very few big hurricanes that hit the southeast. Now the cycle is coming back up, and we're having more of them. But that cycle is, you can see it by just looking at the graph of past years. It's a definite cycle. I think we do have real environmental problems, as you mentioned, Paul, and I think global warming really takes away from that. For example, there was a report just last week, I think, about how many the decline of bird populations in the United States, and it appears that the number of birds has gone down dramatically. That may be because of some environmental problems, but it certainly isn't climate change. In fact, I didn't notice that any of the reports on these on this study pointed out that how many birds are killed by windmills every year.
Yeah,
and of course we're building more and more and more windmills all around the country, and they kill birds and bats. I mean, the numbers are never tabulated very well because the wind industry doesn't want to talk about it, and the environmental organizations that by and large, have taken a pass on bird mortality caused by windmills.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think you've got a point there. We should be concentrating on real environmental issues, not on scary Halloween stories that, you know, kind of frighten us and keep us up at night. And we like that up to a point. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing it today with the UN is having their big climate action summit, and there's no doubt going to be talk of how the world's about to end. Here in D.C. today, we have a shutdown. The climate strikers are trying to actually shut down D.C., and they've clogged up one of the freeways and a couple of major intersections this morning.
All they do is antagonize people, I think. What about, I do worry about this when I read about the Amazon and all the burning of the Amazon. We always talk about the Amazon as one of the things so important to us for oxygen and carbon dioxide and all that kind of stuff. So you do read about that kind of thing. And then you read about the glaciers, although I read sometimes, you know, I don't know what to believe anymore about the glaciers. At one point, I thought, you know, the glaciers really were melting, and then I hear that they're building up somewhere else. So it kind of depends on where you're looking on the globe.
Well, as for glaciers, I think you have a choice. Would you rather that they were advancing and covering up, in some cases, mountain villages or receding? We had a period when the glaciers advanced a lot in the Little Ice Age, and ever since then, from the late 19th century, they've been receding on and off in some places. You're right, they're actually advancing in other places. I don't know why people worry about this. This is, again, these are well-known long-term cycles that we just have to deal with. The advance of the glaciers are either coming to bury us or they're receding. And let me talk about the Amazon.
Yeah,
the Amazon is a very large rainforest. Part of it has been cleared over many decades and turned into farmland. We can have perhaps some concern about the extent of that, but I think that the burning issue was really this year was really manufactured. There are fewer acres burning this year than there were last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So I think, you hear these words, these figures, like how many millions of acres are being burned. Well, remember, the Amazon is a very, very big place. So a million acres is a lot if you live in Rhode Island. It's bigger than your state. But if you live in Brazil, it's not a whole lot. So I think we have to put these claims in perspective. The good news about the Amazon is that as a result of higher CO2 levels, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is claimed to be causing some global warming, but as a direct result of higher CO2 levels, the Earth is greening up. And that's because plants use CO2 for photosynthesis. So more CO2 is like fertilizing plants. And so what we're seeing is...
So we're getting greener? We're getting greener on the planet?
Yeah, very definitely.
Oh.
And you can go to a NASA website, and you can see the satellite photography that shows this, the parts of the world that have gotten greener since the satellites went up in 1979. It's really quite stunning. The most extraordinary greening is in the rainforest, tropical rainforest, and in the northern arboreal forest, like in North America and Siberia. But it's actually greening up over most of the world as a result of higher CO2 levels. So biodiversity is actually increasing in the Amazon rainforest, even though the size of the rainforest is shrinking somewhat. So there's good news as well as bad news.
Yes, indeed. Myron, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. We thank you so very much for coming on to talk about this very interesting topic and very important topic, too. And again, Myron is director of the Center for Energy and Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute and has written a piece, Energy and Environment, 50 Years of Failed Eco-Apocalyptic Predictions. Thank you so much, Myron.
Thanks, Paul.
Our pleasure. All right, there you go. Very interesting, you know? Very interesting, that whole concept. And it's going to be, we're going to be talking about that for a long time, it seems like. Okay, going to take our break. When we come back, is slapping a little blackface on really racist, or can you do it and not be a racist? We're going to talk about that.
42nd Street got a big gym, a walk, I hear a bull shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he's big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Has this become an endless summer? Escape to the Land of Enchantment, Santa Fe Towels Party at Dunedin Fine Arts Center, September 27th. Cool off with tequila libations. Celebrate with multicultural music and dance. Sample Southwestern cuisine. View Georgia O'Keeffe and contemporary Native American artists. Many surprises await. Tickets are limited. Buy online at dfac.org. Scroll to upcoming events or call 727-877-0127. That's 727-877-0127.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender.
We are back, and thank you again for being with us. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. And we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You want the best haircut in Tampa Bay? You want it right away, quick? You want to enjoy it? You want to have good ambiance? You know what that means? That just means you feel good when you go in. Well, I then direct you to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of Main Street, Route 580, same street, on Overcash Drive. You go in there, you're just going to have fun because he's a great guy, Andrew. He's got like 50 years of barber experience, 50. And everybody there is so nice and good at what they do. So get over there, get a great price, get a great haircut, have a little fun as well. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Well, with all these hits that Trump is taking, and what was it you were saying when he gets up every morning? The first thing he should do is find out what
the presidential advisor, whatever he comes in and says.
What was it you said?
What am I accused of?
Yes. Okay. Well, despite all of that, did you know the Rasmussen poll now says that Donald Trump's approval rating is at 52%? That's above the 50% mark. 52% of likely U.S. voters approve of Trump's job performance. 47% disapprove. Now, it says here the latest figures include strongly approve 37% and strongly disapprove 39%. So, you know, they got a lot of stronglies in there as well. But Rasmussen is a respected Pole, and I find that rather interesting, considering all the hits that Donald Trump takes. And you're right, virtually every day there's a shot going across his bow. Well, I see that speaking about leaders taking hits, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has been apologizing now for the past week, is it? Because they found a photograph. They always find a photograph. Why does everybody dress up in blackface when they're young?
Well,
Did you ever? You did. Okay, you're being honest. Okay.
I did, because we were on a cruise, and it was pimps and their girls' night.
What would you say? Pimps. Pimps and their girls' night.
Yeah, and the girls.
Oh, that's
a very nice cruise. The girls. But it was a dress-up. The group did a dress-up thing, and it was great. The whole boat loved it, and the guys had all the chains and the hardware on and gold teeth, and I went to there's a place around here and got theater makeup, and I did the black face. Mm-hmm. I did my arms.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't tell, but it was not.
Ed, you cannot run for office now that you've told us this.
I'm out. Like, I can't do it. No.
Well, one time at Halloween, I did a half black face, half white face thing, and put a hood on, a white hood, like to be like a spirit.
Okay.
So I was probably half wrong, right?
Yeah.
The white part, I guess, was okay.
Yeah.
The black part wasn't. Well, so here's Trudeau. He's running for re-election, and he was busy again yesterday apologizing. Although he said, hey, listen, I'm going to lower your taxes, so, you know, if you'd forget about the pictures, I think we'll all be happy. Now, he's 47 years old. These were photos that occurred when he was about 21 or 22. So, anyway, you know all about the photos. He's got more than one, I guess, right now. And there are these people going, oh, my goodness, he's got to step down. You know, all of that kind of nonsense. Well, I mean, let's just step back for a moment and realize that back in the 30s and 40s, you watch those old movies, you had all kinds of actors dressing in blackface, and they had minstrel show programs that were on. Bing Crosby dressed in blackface. Al Jolson made a career out of it. Eddie Cantor. These are names that go back in, you know, into the middle of the 20th century, and they were big stars. So at one time, there was nothing wrong with it. Now, people knew that black people were being, that there was prejudice and that there was segregation. There was no question about that. No question about it. But wanted to read this this story. This is from The Federalist by David Marcus. And just read a little bit of it. He says, Justin Trudeau, Canadian Prime Minister, latest Liberal politician to be swept up in a blackface controversy, much like the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam. They both darken their faces as part of a costume. But unlike Northam, Trudeau did at least three times blacken his face to do something between the early 90s and 2001. He has apologized. He said at the time he did not believe his actions were racist, but now understands they were. Well, first of all, that's not true. He knows exactly. I bet he felt the same way then as he feels now about it when he put it on. Not going to say, well, all of a sudden my feelings have changed. I don't buy that. I think his feelings are the same. In regards to the first incident to surface, Trudeau said he was dressed as Aladdin. So, you know, they called it brownface, actually. Did you see that? It wasn't blackface. As if there's going to be a difference, I guess. So David Marcus writes this. Setting aside the question of whether adults should wear costumes at all, one must ask, is dressing and wearing makeup to pretend to be somebody fictional racist? He says, in the vast majority of cases, the answer is no. Now, when you put on blackface, if you were to do a minstrel show and dance around, as many white people did, and I don't know if you've seen those old movies where they were doing it, but that was a big part of the history of our country, And even black people, African Americans, donned blackface, made themselves look darker, and would do the same thing. So I guess if you're an African American and you do it, it's not bad. But if you're a white person and you do it, or if you're a non-African American and you do it, you don't have a right to do it. Well, the truth is, we have a right to do anything we damn well please in this country, unless you're really hurting somebody intentionally. And to say that by putting on blackface you are looking down upon an entire race of people is nonsense. You know you're not. In fact, some of the greatest singing occurred in these minstrel shows. Al Jolson made a career out of putting on blackface, singing great songs. Everybody loved it. And the black community at that time were very supportive.
You know, there was a movie.
Very supportive.
There was a movie called White Chicks. And two African-American actors, the Wayan brothers, dressed as white men to pick up these white girls.
So I like that, it already, by the way. I got to go see that one.
Is that allowed or not?
Well, it should be. Do you remember Saturday Night Live and the comedian that dressed as a white guy to see what people's reaction would be? Because being a black man, he didn't really know what the experience was. What was the name of that very funny guy that
I can't remember.
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Did you see that skit?
I think it
was one of the funniest skits that Saturday Night Live ever did. I think Eddie Murphy was... I just think he's inherently
funny.
He
also did, in one of his movies, he dressed as a white Jewish guy.
Yes, he did. Well, in this particular sequence, you got to see it. It's worth, I tell you, I was laughing so hard. He dresses as a white guy. He has a briefcase. And he slaps all of this white makeup on his face. He looked pretty good. He looked different. You wouldn't have known. And then he goes into these different shops in New York City. And... in the sequence, he'll be in the shop, and there'll be a couple of African Americans purchasing something or in the store. Then those African Americans leave. So Eddie Murphy then goes up to the counter with some product, and the clerk says, you know, and he goes to pay for it. The clerk said, no, just take it. You remember that? Take it. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, they're gone now. Go ahead, take it. So he's giving away the stuff. The black people pay for it, but, you know, white people don't. It was just so funny. Now, nobody ever thought of that as racist. Nobody thought of it as racist. They laughed very hard. And sometimes we take ourselves so seriously. Yeah. And you know what happens? We all get stabbed with the same knife. You point the knife at somebody for doing this, and then all of a sudden a picture pops up of you doing something. It's inevitable. So anyway, very interesting article. I commend it to you. It's in the Federalist, if you go online. And it's wearing makeup for a costume. Or I should say, talking about wearing makeup for a costume is not racist. And but it's almost funny to watch these politicians stumbling over themselves when they're caught to apologize for what they did, as if it's some horrible thing. And by the way, the Democratic Party, the same ones apologizing for slapping a little black paint on their face, will make no apology for late-term abortions, and something I think is much, much more critical than whether or not you put some black paint on your face. Okay, going to take our final break. When we come back, we got a little bit more to talk about when it comes to Donald Trump and possible impeachment. It's back up. And the top 10. Best countries to retire to.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, all I want is a party doll to come along with me when I'm feeling wild, to be ever loving, true and fair, to run her fingers through my hair.
Hey, we're back with the final segment of our Monday show, Freedom Works. Paul Malloy along with Big Ed. We thank you for being with us. I want to remind you again that the best haircut in Tampa Bay is at Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin, which is located on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. So if you're anywhere near Dunedin or 580, get over to Overcash Drive and just take a short north turn, and you'll see the Overcash Plaza on your left on the west side of the street there. And there you go. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's the best haircut you're going to get in Tampa Bay.
Do you ever notice the traffic light in his window?
Yes.
You know what that means?
Yes. Go ahead and explain it, though. Yes, I do.
So it's
got
red,
a red light.
Red, yellow, and green light.
Correct.
So if you roll up there and the light is green, means no waiting.
Right. That's a good idea.
And if there's yellow and green, means there's a bit of a wait, but not bad. If it's yellow, it's probably not a good idea. And if it's red, don't even bother.
Don't bother coming
don't
in.
Bother.
We got about five or six in front of you.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't
well,
bother.
That's a good idea. And you can see it. What? Can you see it from the street?
Yeah. Because when I go, I just went Saturday. And I always stop before I pull in and look at the light and see if it's... I just thought he liked traffic lights. That's all.
He probably does like traffic lights anyway. He also has a sign about don't park in this particular spot on a snow day, which is very interesting in Tampa. That's kind of cute. But that's his sense of humor, you know. And when you go in there, and by the way, if you don't like politics, well, maybe you better avoid it. Let's be honest, okay, because he loves to talk politics. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, impeachment won't go away as far as Donald Trump is concerned. And for a while, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was trying to put the kibosh on it, trying to put the lid on the impeachment pot. But now, hours after Congressman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said that her party's failure to impeach Trump has amounted to a major national scandal. Can you believe what's coming out of her mouth? And on Sunday, yesterday, Pelosi appeared to relent and warn that a whole new age of investigation could be approaching. Boy, I tell you, as long as they continue to talk about that, I don't see how they're going to win the presidency. Pelosi has long resisted the calls to impeach Trump, saying it would imperil the electability of the moderate Democrats in the House. And you know that a lot of Democrats in those, what they call purple districts are worried about having to vote on an impeachment, because they know that if it's going to be a close race, it ain't going to work in their favor. So now Pelosi is giving in to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to some extent. She says, we must be sure that the president and his administration are always conducting our national security and foreign policy in the best interest of the American people. And she says there are grave, we we are entering a grave new chapter of lawlessness. So there you go. The whistleblower drama escalated after Friday's Wall Street Journal said Trump repeatedly had asked the Ukrainian president to investigate Joe Biden's son. And so now the impeachment fires are being restoked, I guess, because of that. But as we said a little earlier in the show, I think in the long run, the fact that Biden indeed intervened in an investigation of Hunter Biden's company for corruption. Biden intervened to say, get rid of that guy that's doing the investigation, that attorney general, or the money that we are going to send to Ukraine will not be appearing and arriving. Now, that to me is a quid pro quo. Also, if this because of his phone call, apparently the other thing that they're still kicking Mr. Trump on is his tax return issues, at least in New York State. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance, who subpoenaed Trump's accounting firm for 8 years of Trump's personal taxes, has now been sued by President Trump. Trump filed a lawsuit last week against Cyrus Vance. And the lawsuit was filed in U.S. District Court. And it names not only Vance, but the president's own tax preparer as defendants. It says that they should not receive Trump's tax returns because, quote, all legal commenters agree that a sitting president of the United States is not subject to the criminal process while he is in office. And he goes on to talk about the Constitution. So, you know, I don't know what Trump, it's Trump's personal business. He may not be as rich as he claims to begin with. And he might be embarrassed by that. Or he might have taken all of the advantages he could find, which is perfectly fine, to pay as little taxes as possible. That's what they do. There's nothing wrong with that either. But one way or the other, there's no rule that says that the president has to tell you what the hell he did with it, because the IRS will be examining him anyway. They're the ones that count. If they find something wrong, they can go after him. You know? They can go after him. Okay. I want to talk on a completely different subject. Since we have now, since I've been back, we have now been playing pro football, and we have our Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we're rooting for them down here in Tampa Bay. And Ed, being our not only my buddy here, but he's our sports guru. Ed, did you happen to watch the game, and did you need any medication after the final play?
I was there.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay.
Watched it.
There must have been a collective.
You know, it was an exciting game that it had gone another way.
Very exciting.
About 5 inches to the left.
Exactly.
People be talking about one of the better games in a long time.
Exactly.
You know, defense gave up a few here and there, but, you know, basically it was a very entertaining game.
They lost to
the Giants.
The Giants on a last second, and it was a 34-yard field goal attempt. And being a Bears fan, I can empathize because you know what happened to them in the playoffs last year? That final kick that bounced right off, and the Bears were out of the playoffs. But this one hurt. This one hurt. What did you think about the Tampa Bay quarterback's performance?
Well, you know, Jameis did some things.
I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, but I don't know. We were sitting there talking about it. That one play towards the end there when he hit Mike Evans down, you know, and got them in the field goal range. Well, had he hit him in stride, he would have scored. But he had to wait for the ball. So once again, he's still not very good with the deep ball and could be a lot better. But overall, I'm not blaming that on – I don't think you can blame it on any one person. Yeah, he missed the kick. But, you know, a lot of things, you know, just – went kaflooey there. First play of the third quarter, they get a 75-yard bomb. The Giants do, and this is a rookie quarterback. Remember,
he looked pretty good too. I thought
Eli will never play for the Giants again. not after yesterday.
I'm beginning to think you're right. This guy's mobile, too. He can he can move around.
And I think they should let him go. You know, don't force him to sit there. And
Eli can sit there and take a couple million dollars every year. What's wrong with that?
More than that.
Yeah.
He can take more, about $10 million.
Probably like to sit there and take the money.
But his competitive genes and his family history, he'd like to go somewhere where he could do something.
I mean, you may be right about that. All right, indeed. It is time for our top 10, Ed. And I, of course, will ask you what you think is the number one country in this thing when we get to it. But these are the top 10 best countries to retire to. And it comes from the 7th Annual Global Retirement Index, released by Natixis, I guess it's pronounced N-A-T-I-X-I-S, Natixis Investment Managers. So here we go. Top 10 countries to retire.
Hang on.
Okay. Got to get on your drums.
Yeah, I didn't have them set up.
He's got to get over on his drums, folks. I mean, he should remember this. We used to do this all the time. But he has, it's been a while for him, so I don't blame him. Once you're on your drums, let me know. I'm going to tell you, though, that...
my drum set.
See, you can hear that he's away from the mic, so he's looking for his drum set.
I've got it right here. You ready?
Yeah,
okay,
back.
Here we go. Here we go.
Okay, you're coffee? You're on there? Okay, here we go.
I couldn't find the sticks either. Here we go.
Number 10 is Luxembourg.
Okay.
Luxembourg. Now, Luxembourg is one of those little countries that everybody hears about, but they're not quite sure where it is. Well, it's in Europe. That's where it is. It's near France, everybody. And Luxembourg is number 10. Number 9.
So if you're from Luxembourg, you're a Luxembourger.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Have you ever eaten a Luxembourger?
No.
They're delicious. Okay. Number 9 is Canada. We're just talking about Justin Trudeau. And apparently, if you go there and live, you can live well. Now, remember that your money as an American goes further in Canada right now. Number 8, Australia. Australia always makes the top 10. Must be a nice place. Never been there. Would like to go sometime. Number 7, Denmark. You know where Copenhagen is and all that kind of thing. Yeah. Number 6, nearby, Sweden. Yeah, Copenhagen, Denmark, and what's the name of that town in Sweden? The city of, I can't think of it, but Sweden, anyway. Number 5, New Zealand, which is right off the coast of Australia, is a very good place to retire to. Must be beautiful down there. Number 4, Ireland. Now, Ireland has been attracting businesses with a very low tax rate, and it's a beautiful country as well. Number 3, Norway. Indeed. You know, those cold weather countries always come do well on these top tens for some reason. Number 2, Switzerland, where all the banks and cuckoo clocks are and the watches. Yes, Switzerland. All right, Ed, we're at number 1. What do you think is the best country to retire to?
Probably Dubai or something like that.
Dubai. Excuse me for laughing. If you're a woman, it isn't.
Oh, well, okay.
You know how they treat women.
Yeah, that's true.
So, no. It's Iceland.
Iceland.
Yeah, and it's chilly year-round, has about 19 hours of darkness each day in winter, and yet Iceland, apparently, according to these people, is a great place to live with your money. So,
nice.
Maybe there's a lot of benefits there. All right, my friends, we thank you so very much for joining us. We'll be back on Wednesday. And please remember that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Not talks, strike talks. I'm Michael Toscano. Both President Trump and Iran's President Rouhani say they don't expect to meet these next 3 days as 200 world leaders converge on the United Nations in New York for the opening of the General Assembly. This as the United States pushes ahead with plans to deploy additional troops to the Middle East following the attack on Saudi oil facilities. Correspondent Barbara Starr has more from the Pentagon.
Late Friday night, there was a press conference here. They said there would be a deployment.